from the Kungliv Sound, eh? Buffalo City. Those East Londoners, we come from the same area. What is, it was the grace of the Lord that we became part of what he is doing here. We were part of a 412 church that was, we joined 412 in 2017, and we worked with Ryan Kingsley. He was still coordinating the region. And we worked with Mike. I know that he was part of this congregation, McFast. In 2022, we noticed actually as the leaders, I was the sole elder, and we noticed that there's a load in that church that was not healthy. And it was laid in my heart to pray and ask the Lord what to do. And a scripture that is always used in weddings at times, better two than one. That was the scripture that was laid in my heart. And the Holy Spirit was saying, you cannot do it. You need to come together into a team. And Love More on the other side was praying because he was the sole elder. And then we merged and became Josh and Kailicha from 2022. And it has been good to work within a team. And God has been working so beautifully in our giftings. We are different, yet God is just knitting us together so that we can be able to work in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. So it is so beautiful for me to, and it's a privilege to find this opportunity and come over here. What was said last week, I want to echo it and say thank you to the church, the congregations in this hub for making it possible that I come full time. It's a month now, eh? From the 1st of July, I've been full time. And God has been so faithful. Amen. Just a little story behind it. When 2023, it has been there in my heart that the Lord wants me to come full time. But in 2023, we were in a conference. My wife was on the sitting next to me. And when the break came, for a moment, I was away from her. And I wanted to find her again so that I can tell her what the Lord is saying to me. When I approached her, that there's something that I need to tell you. And she said that the Lord is saying you must go full time. Because at the same time, the Lord was speaking to her. So God works wonders. At that time, we wanted to go by faith, not expecting anything, but the office was saying, no, stop. He said, we had the Lord very clearly, and we don't need anything. We just want to commit to what the Lord is saying. And then they said, we want to have the same faith as you. So wait until the first, and then we had to learn to be submissive with whatever that we have received from the Lord, but we submitted to their leaders. And that's a beautiful journey. If we were alone, not within the context of Church 10, we would have been just doing things on our own without having the cushion of being guided and have the team that we work with. And at the right time, God has provided and made it possible. We thank God. We thank God for you and what you are doing. And God is doing something in Kailicha. Yeah. The lives are changing. The church was planted from Ikayale Temba. And it is very difficult to plant a church out of a charity. People are coming so that they can have. At times, they do not have even the faith of Christ. They come, they are faithful because they're hoping that there's something that will come. And then we have to walk with those people until they come into the realization of who Christ is and have their own experience and fellowship with Jesus. God is doing something. Amen. He is changing lives and he is touching lives. Yeah. Just in short, is that going to be short? I don't know. Yeah. My background is a teacher. So a primary school teacher. So primary school teachers have a tendency of explaining and repeating. So it takes long for a primary teacher to share something. So I don't know whether it's going to be short, but I will try not to bore you. The heart that has been, the message that has been placed in my heart is a believer that God chooses. Amen. That is the message that is in my heart. I would like to challenge each and every one of us and that we search ourselves and look deep into our hearts and ask ourselves that, are we that type of a believer that Jesus wants? In the midst of the things that are happening in our world, I would just like to challenge each and every individual to search yourself. Just before I can go further in that, I just want to tell you that it is a privilege. It is grace that you are the child of God. You cannot do it. You need Christ so that you can do it. And even if there's someone who is here who never got this joy of being part of the family of God, by grace, Jesus is extending even unto you. He even went to the cross just for you because he loves us. He sacrificed and he died so that everyone can have an experience of the Father's love. Amen. And I'm reading from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 2. First, before you can be this type of a believer that Jesus wants, you need to know your identity. And the identity that in this book is being given unto us, it says in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The first thing that I want to point out is that when he gives us an identity, that the names that he has given to his people, he says they are chosen people. And then the second one, he says, you are royal priests. I would like just to highlight that one that says you are a royal priest. Royal means king. It has something to do with kings. Eh? And then when it talks about priests, you are not just only kings, but you are also priests. And the reason that he gives you that identity, he says, is that you can show others the goodness of God. So the main reason that Jesus is giving you this identity is that you can show to others. You can be a testimony to the world of the goodness of God. So, in what he is saying here, he says, I see you as kings. In my grace, whilst you were lost, you were foreigners, like you were wild olives and were taken and grafted into the olive, you are made to be kings and priests for the one reason, so that you can show the goodness of God. He wants to be a type of a believer that is able to project him, to show the world his love, to show the world who God is, and that you may be able to carry his character. This is what God is saying to us as he gives us this identity. In this, why do I give this background and say you are given the identity of being a king? Is because my focus will be on the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17 from verse 14. When you read into that chapter, Deuteronomy 17 verse 14, it talks about the guidelines for a king. Now, this king that he talks about is a king that is going to be appointed in Israel. But when he talks about you now, he says, you are that king. For the reason that the king that is going to be appointed in Israel, he gives prescription of who that person would be, is so that that person can transfer his heart when he leads the people. And the same reason in the book of Peter, it says, so that you can show the goodness of the Lord. Therefore, God is saying to us the same attributes that he wants from that king, he wants those attributes to us, because he calls us the kings. Amen. Remember Kailisha? Yeah? In verse 14, it says, you are about to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you take it over and settle there, you may think, we should select a king and rule over us like the other nations around us. There's something that caught my heart when I was reading here. Later, Israel's were complaining and saying that we are tired of Samuel leading us. We need to appoint for ourselves a king. The same thing that Moses wrote about in the wilderness. And God was saying to them, there is a time where you will say, we want a king. And remember, it is not God who was saying, I'm going to give you a king. But he says, you will want a king, because you will be looking at the nations around you and say, we want to be like them. And God said, okay, if you want that king, I will allow it, that you find that king. But when I allow it, it must be according to these guidelines. And the reason that he gives the guidelines is that his nation will continue to reflect him to other nations. That other nations may know God through this king will not lead his people astray. And therefore, I want to say to you, God trusts you that you will show him to the world. That is why Jesus is saying, go to the world and make them disciples. We are given a responsibility to reveal who Christ is to our neighbors, to the world. They have to know the goodness of the Lord. The same responsibility that was given to that particular king, God is giving it to us so that we can reveal who he is. We can show his love and his goodness. That the people will say, there is something that is different with these people. The way they love like God. Amen. So, he gave them the guidelines. Who is this person supposed to be? And I would like us to apply those guidelines on our lives. The first one, it says he must not be a foreigner. Verse 15, if this happens, be sure to select a king, the man of the Lord your God chooses. You must appoint a fellow Israelite. He may not be a foreigner. When I was looking at this, I was reminded of the preach by Andrew in America. He cited a story that of a man in the Second Samuel. This guy who got the crown, the scepter, and the ring of Saul as a king, and these are the symbols of a king. They were very important. And he thought to himself, if I can take them and bring them to David and give David, maybe he is going to honor me and give me a position or something. When he took those and ran to David, David asked him, how did you know that Saul is dead? And he said, I was there and then I saw. And he twisted the story. The story was that Saul was injured and he asked his armor bearer to kill him. And that guy said, no, I cannot do it. And then Saul, because the armor bearer could not do it, he fell on his sword and died. And the armor bearer, when he saw him, he took his own and killed himself. But this man, who is an Amalekite, took these things, twisted the story, and said, I saw, it was him who saw Saul, and said, and he begged me that I may kill him, and I killed him. And David says to him, first, who are you? Because there is something with his identity that is not sitting right. And he said, I am an Amalekite who is within the Israelites. Andrew pointed something that caught my heart and say, you may be a foreigner, but do not remain a foreigner in the things of the Lord. He said, this guy, when David continues, he said, how do you have an audacity of killing an anointed one of the Lord? To those who has a land, the things of the Lord, they know that they cannot be found. The blood of the anointed one cannot be found in their hands. And therefore, they land. Remember, the armor bearer could not kill him. But this guy take pride in something that is not acceptable within the kingdom. So we need such type of people who will grow and not remain in the same place, but learn the things of the kingdom. Actually, that part is Andrew, not me. But it challenged me. It came to me when it says it must not be a foreigner. It must be someone amongst you. That means it must be the person who knows the law of the Lord.
who knows what is expected of a believer. If you are the type of a believer that Jesus is looking for, learn the things of the kingdom. In our days, we find that we have so many carnal Christians. They depend on their thinking. They depend on the world view of things. And they subject themselves into how the world is operating. They have not learned the things of the kingdom. And this is my challenge to you. He must be from among you, an Israelite, not a foreigner. You must not be foreign in the things of the Lord. If I can just tell you that when you come to Khayelitsha, when we have a huge task to teach, I recently had to go through and unpack what are tongues. Because people were saying, and that was a question, can you understand what you are saying when you speak in tongues? And they would say again, we're not in the book of Acts. There's some people who were able to say, I hear them. Why we cannot hear you? It's because these people are comfortable to be at church, but they are not busy to learn the things of the kingdom. There are things of the Spirit, and that the Lord wants you to learn. And they can never be taught on the pulpit, but on the walk with the Holy Spirit. You need to have that heart that is longing, and that heart that says, I'm coming closer so that I can learn the things of the kingdom. If you are a foreigner, how can Jesus make you a show off for his glory to the community? Learn the things of the kingdom. You have to change even just your language, the way that you speak, the words that you are using. Your language must be filled with love. In this community, I'm coming from Khayelitsha. In Khayelitsha, there's violence, but I cannot be violent in my sayings because I am of the kingdom. Are you that type of a believer that Jesus wants? Amen. Remember Khayelitsha, eh? Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16 and verse 17. There are things that the one that the Lord wants cannot do. There are things that are stipulated there. He talks about, one, the king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself or send people to Egypt to buy horses. For the Lord has told you, you must never return to Egypt. In this part, horses are things, those are things that you can trust when you are going to war. They give you an advantage. When you have chariots bigger than the other army, you know that I'm stronger. When you have horsemen, a bigger number than the other army, you know that I am stronger. The reason that people can pursue, the kings can pursue to have more horses, is so that they can have an advantage in a battle. In other words, here, As for us, the Lord is saying, do not depend on your own strength. Do not live your life depending on your abilities. Trust the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Do not depend on how you see things. Do not depend on your own calculations. Come to the Lord. Trust God. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. When we had to come to Cape Town, I was a Baptist pastor. And there was nothing in me that when I wanted to come to Cape Town. We didn't even have a picture of us coming to Cape Town. And the Lord had a plan. I know that he knew this day. And when we had to come to Cape Town, I was called into another Baptist church. I went, and when we were to come, first, there were more, so many questions, and how are we going to live, and are we going to leave our jobs, because I was double timing, working as a teacher and continuing. How is life going to be? There were all those things that were so uncertain. But we came to ask of the Lord. He gave me a dream. And in that dream, I saw myself, before even the invite to come and lead that church came, there was that dream. So I knew that the Lord has already spoken. But I was a doubting Thomas. I need to be sure that it is you, Lord, who is leading me. And then I took a book, interested in it, and in chapter 2 of that book, I was challenged, because at that time I was planting a church in the Eastern Cape. And when I was reading this chapter, it led me to the book of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is saying, I have given others to plant, and given the others to water. But it is not unto both to grow. And as I was reading through that book, there was a question that was asked. Have I called you to plant? Or do I have called you to water? And into me, immediately, an answer came. I am to come and take over that church. In this, I had to depend on the Lord. There was so many uncertainties, but I trusted God because I had him. And the person that is going to be able to show God to the nations is the one who depends unto the Lord. I do not know whom I am speaking to. Maybe the missions are calling, and you are uncertain. Maybe Dylan, someone is going to say, here I am, Lord, I'm coming. Verse 17. The king must not take many wives for himself. Okay. Why a king had to take many wives? I'm asking. A teacher now comes. Why a king had to take many wives? The reason is to find alliances. There was a reason. If I take your daughter, you will not fight against me. And when I'm going to the battle, you will come along me so that I can fight. So, Solomon had 700 allies. So in him, doing so, taking so many wives, he was building the allies that he was going to go with when he's fighting the battles. And the person that is going to reflect God, that God wants, is a person who is able to depend on God, not on princes. In the book of Psalms, chapter 146, verse 3, it do not put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. It is better for you to trust God. When he says a king must not take so many wives, do not trust so many treaties and alliances. Jesus brings a twist into his gospel and said, I have not brought peace. I have brought enmity. I have brought enmity between a daughter and a mom, a son and the father. But within the family, you need to follow Jesus. I think maybe in other cultures, it may be easier. Actually, the Western culture can talk of the core family. In the Black culture, we talk of family. My uncle's son is my brother, he's not my cousin. And everybody has something to say about the things that we are doing. The family is not about you, it's about the family. It's about the people around you, the allies that you have brought upon yourself. And it says, do not build so many wives, have so many wives. That means do not bring so many allies. Trust God. Place your life in trusting God. And he is a faithful God. He will see you through. It continues to say, because they will turn his heart away from the Lord. And I can see in my context, the hearts of people being turned away from the Lord. I have seen women who were coming so strong in the Lord, when it is time to do ancestral worship, we lose them. Young men growing so well when it comes to circumcision, they invite all the demons and they lose it. We lose so many young people because in that culture, a person has to rely upon others. And they are so afraid to stand for the Lord. It says those so many wives can lead you away from the Lord. And he must not accumulate large amount of wealth into material. To not be depending on material. Depend upon the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom, and everything else shall be added upon you. Verse 18 up to verse 20. There is something that the Lord says you must do. One thing. And it says, when he sits on the throne as king, he must copy for himself the body of the instruction and on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. He must always keep that copy with him and read it daily as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying the terms of the instruction and decrees. The first thing, you must not be only reading the Bible. The thing that will establish you as that person, you must not be only reading. I heard that there is a study that is going to be done into how to read the Bible. Go further than just reading. Study. He was commanded to write his copy. When you are reading, you may miss something, but when you're reading so that you can write, there's nothing that you're going to miss out. He had to make his own copy, copy from there, word to word. And it says he must be guarded. That means there are elders that are helping this person so that he can write the correct way. So the command is that study the word of God. I was challenging the church earlier today, and I was just asking, who is James? And they said that he's a disciple of Jesus. And then, okay, who is his brother? And so many young people could not answer that question. And I was asking, who is his father? And so many could not, because they are, when they are reading, they are not studying. They are not relating things. It doesn't come alive. Let the word come alive. And let it challenge you. In my conclusion, I say, it says, this regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he is above the fellow citizens. So if you read, it will humble you. If you rely upon the Lord, that will humble you. It will also prevent him from from turning away from the commands. If you read the Bible, it will keep you upright. And it will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel. It will carry you to your eternal promises of the Lord. May the Lord bless you.